You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
January the 27th, 2020, President Trump denying claims in a New York Times story involving a book to be released in March by former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The president said the report is false. Well, the Times is claiming that drafts of Bolton's book show that President Trump had told his national security advisor he wanted to continue freezing $391 million in security assistance to Ukraine until Ukrainian officials help with investigations into Democrats, including the Bidens. The Times admits, we didn't see the manuscript. We're just quoting some people who say they saw it. Well, of course, this is opening the door for more calls for witnesses to appear in front of the Senate as we move forward with the impeachment trial. And, of course, here comes Utah Senator Mitt Romney, Republican, looking to do damage to Trump if he can, said, yeah, I think maybe we will need Bolton in front of us and other witnesses. Dateline Scottsboro, Alabama. At least 35 boats docked along the Tennessee River early this morning. Fire. There are fatalities. 7 at least missing. Unknown number dead at this point. Others in the hospital. The blaze happening as folks living in the boats were sleeping. The flames consumed the wooden dock, cutting off escape routes, raining debris into the water. Many of the boats had propane tanks, gas tanks, and there were numerous explosions. They still, as I said, are looking for some missing. The Chinese health minister is admitting that coronavirus is getting stronger, and he's warning of walking contagious agents spreading the disease. The death toll now, 80 in China. It's been reported in Canada. It's been reported at least 3 places in the USA, Washington State, Chicago, and in Texas. No deaths in the USA reported so far. An Air Force communications plane crashing in eastern Afghanistan. 5, maybe fewer, on board, all dead. No word if it was shot down or if it's some kind of mechanical issue. We do know rocket rained down in Baghdad at the U.S. Embassy dining hall last night. All Pentagon officials are safe and accounted for. No deaths or injuries. The rocket fired, apparently, by the Iranian-backed armed groups in the area. Again, carrying out threats against U.S. targets because we took out Soleimani. In Virginia, the House Delegates Public Safety Committee passing a firearm store law and bill. It will limit the number of handguns Virginians can buy at a time. And it also has extended universal background checks. If you have a 5-shot revolver you want to sell to a lifelong neighbor you've had forever, you've got to get government permission for a background check before you can do it. The Des Moines Register, Iowa's biggest and most influential newspaper, endorsing Senator Elizabeth Warren for president, admitting that some of her proposals go too far, but still saying, we're going to endorse her. And trying to dismiss that she's too far left of center, writing that she's not the radical some perceive her to be. There's a lot of couching and cover for her while you're trying to endorse her, but that's what they've done. An Iran commercial jetliner, 135 plus crew on board, overshooting a runway as it landed, went right through the runway fence and into a street. No one hurt, but someone's got some splaining to do. Former First Lady Michelle Obama winning her first Grammy Award Sunday Former President Obama has done the same twice before, winning a Grammy Award for the spoken word of her best-selling memoir, Becoming. An audio tape of her reading her own book. I'll congratulate her. And I'm thinking, if you had someone that you knew that had a book they'd read, entered in that category, and you're all excited because you had a chance to win, until you saw that Michelle Obama is in the same category, did you decide right then that I don't have a chance in hell? Well, let me make it clear to you. If you were in that same category, you did not have a chance. Not one single chance.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As the news broke over the weekend of the crash involving Kobe Bryant, a lot of attention, of course, focusing on him and his daughter who's on board. When you have an event like this, obviously names everyone knows suddenly become the center part of the story. But I would remind you, there were others on board in addition to Kobe and his daughter. 7 others. And one of them being a baseball coach, among them a baseball coach, his wife and daughter. Another female basketball coach, apparently. And then a mother-daughter who were also passengers aboard that were friends with the Kobes, Kobe Bryant and his daughter. So there are 9 lives lost the other day. This was a Sikorsky 76 helicopter. When you have something like this, when the investigators move in, they start looking at everything. They'll go to the information on the helicopter, maintenance records and so forth, as they go through the crash site looking for anything mechanical. They'll look at the pilot and the pilot's qualifications and ability, and they'll take into account conditions, weather conditions. And I think that's where it's going to end up focusing. But it cannot be determined fully at this point. Well, I'll give you a background on that in just a moment, based on my limited amount of piloting. I am a commercial multi-engine instrument qualified. I'm not a flight instructor, and I am not an FAA inspector. But there are certain things as a pilot you learn early. You better learn early. Let's talk about first the helicopter itself. It was manufactured in 1991. It was owned by the state of Illinois from 2007 until 2015. That's when then-Governor Bruce Rauner decided to put the fleet of aircraft up for sale, trying to get money back for the state. So it was sold. And then it got picked up by Island Express Holding Corporation, holding company at the time of the record of the crash. Had a new paint job, the Nike swoosh logo, and Kobe Bryant's signature insignia as part of the makeup of the craft. The weather conditions were bad enough that even the Los Angeles Police Department said weather conditions in that area did not meet our minimum standards for flying. Too foggy, mountainous terrain. The helicopter left Santa Ana in Orange County, south of L.A., shortly after 9 a.m., ended up having to circle for a while east of Interstate 5 near Glendale. It got held up because they were trying to, control operators, trying to get other aircraft cleared. Finally, they cleared the Sikorsky to go north along Interstate 5 through Burbank, then turn west to follow U.S. Route 101, the Ventura Highway. And then shortly after 9:40, the helicopter turned again toward the southeast, climbed to more than 2,000 feet, then descended, crashing into the hillside at about 1,400 feet. They say when it struck the ground, it was flying at about 184 miles an hour. That means the pilot did not intend to hit anything. The pilot never slowed down, wasn't trying to change things, was moving as if there was clear terrain in front and was going to clear any terrain. Now, here's where we come back to something that's critical. During this situation, the pilot had actually asked for special visual flight rules, and it was granted by the controllers. The controllers will not tell an aircraft pilot you can operate under special flight rules. The pilot has to request it. And the pilot will request it when they don't want to file an IFR report or a flight plan at that time. They want to be able to fly, and they say, we can fly fine, we can see everything, so the conditions are a little bad, but we can still do it, and we want special visual flight rules. The pilot did also ask at one time for flight following. In other words, if you're on an IFR plan, instrument flight rules, you're going to be followed by controllers anyway. They're going to give you a code to squawk, and they will know where you are at any given point. If you are on VFR, you can ask for them to follow. They'll give you a code to squawk, and they will follow you at that point. But otherwise, you're just in the air flying around. You're not under any restrictions other than what you would be anyway, and no one's really monitoring your progress. Even when I was a beginning pilot flying VFR, I always asked for flight following. I wanted them to know where I was in case something went wrong, where to start looking. And once I got my instrument ticket, I never flew again without an instrument flight plan. Even if it was clear visibility and I'm taking off, I still filed for it, even if I was not going to encounter any kind of weather. Now, sometimes when you file for that, you end up having to wait on the runway a little bit longer. It was fine with me. And when this pilot asked for the special visual flight rules, it was granted. They don't know the condition. The pilot's the one has to decide I can fly and I can maintain VFR. So they were told to maintain special VFR at or below 2,500 feet. In other words, they didn't want them getting higher and maybe into the path of other planes or aircraft. And when they asked for flight follow, the controllers recorded as telling the pilot, you're too low for flight following at this time. In other words, it was too low to be seen on air traffic control radar. So the pilot has decided to continue to what we call scud run. You've got scud, you've got fog, you've got clouds, and you're supposed to be clear of them, but kind of run around them a little bit. I see it, I can avoid it, I can get around it. I might get into it a little bit, that's why they want special visual flight rules. The pilot, I haven't seen if the pilot is IFR qualified. Many helicopter pilots are not. They just aren't. I'm not sure about this one. And if they'd requested IFR, they probably would have been assigned a different altitude, and they would have gone right over the top of the mountains to where they wanted to go, which baffles me as to why they didn't. But many times a crash, if it involves a pilot error, and I think that's going to end up being, and again, this is my speculation, it's going to end up being the most important decision a pilot makes. Go or no go. Even as once I had an IFR ticket, I could fly instrument flight. I could take like going into Spirit Airport around St. Louis, some would know it, or even into Lambert International. I think I could go down to, off the top of my head, something like 400 feet before I would break out of the clouds, and I could fly down to that low. I never wanted that. I set a personal minimum of 1,000 feet. 400 feet would be about two-thirds up the height of the arch. And you're descending, you're coming down. That's not a lot of room to make a change. 600 feet gives you an extra 200, but that's not much. 1,000 feet, that was my safety margin. I had, from time to time, been confident enough to go down a little bit lower, 700 feet. And there was one time I was given clearance, and I was told I would be breaking out at 700 feet. I'm still flying the approach. I'm not getting any visual in front of me. I'm locked down on the instruments. I can't see anything. Now I'm at 600 feet, 550, approaching 500, and I finally break through. And my first report is to the tower. You got everybody know that you're not going to get out of this until 550. I would not have flown down to that level. I got down fine. But there are times that you want to really go somewhere, and if you were the pilot and you're subject to a boss that wants to go somewhere, or a client you're trying to please, you want to please them. Kobe Bryant and his family and the rest of them were trying to get to a basketball game in Thousand Oaks, California. His daughter was going to play. And Kobe apparently was going to help coach. And I can almost imagine, hey, I got to get to this game. She's playing, I'm coaching. We got to go. I don't know that for a fact, but I can see that scenario. I've seen it too many times with others, either flying commercial, and by that I mean flying for hire, or they're employed by somebody that wants to go, and it's a corporate plane, and they want to go, and they want to go now. And the pilot has to make that most critical decision, go or no go. I disappointed my wife numerous times when we were planning just a trip to Chicago. I said, we can't go. She said, well, it's beautiful here. I said, but it's not Chicago. It's not going to get any better. We can't do it. I remember one time being down along the Gulf Coast, fog banked in. I was supposed to be back at work. We could not lift off for 3 days. The fog was so bad. Now, by then, I could have driven back to St. Louis and gone to work at least one or two of the days I would have missed, but then I had to drive back down, get the plane. And I just told them, said, add it to my time off. I'm not going to fly out. And when we did get the clearance, it was a very narrow clearance to get up and out before we got closed in again. If a pilot allows a boss or a client or someone or their own thought to push forward, it's called get-itis. When a pilot has get-itis for whatever reason, things begin to unfold in a hurry. They report that there was no distress call from the helicopter, probably because the pilot never thought they had a distress situation. And there are times when you have a mechanical issue, your first rule is fly the plane or the helicopter. You don't have time to talk. You might get one mayday call in and that's it. You got to deal with the situation. But in this case, there was never any communication if they had any trouble, which suggests the pilot thought they were free and clear, going at 187 miles an hour, around the mountains, through the mountains, and the fog. Again, I don't know if that's what's going to be the final determination. But when I look at the report, the Los Angeles Police Department saying our air support division would not fly fly in that weather due to the conditions, that tells me a lot. Now, they could have higher standards, and it's up to the pilot, him or herself, to decide what they're willing to do and when they're willing to do it. But if they had decided to wait till it all broke out and the game had to start late, or Kobe and his daughter wasn't there when it did start, or they decided to file an IFR flight plan and get above the mountains and get to where they wanted to go and then come back down, assuming it would be receptive weather, we wouldn't be discussing this tragedy. Very quickly, it's very much like Kennedy. Kennedy that flew his wife and her sister going to Martha's Vineyard and crashed in the ocean. Again, I'm qualified to fly in IFR conditions, twin-engine plane or so, and I would not take a twin-engine plane at night over water to an island. And the weather conditions were not good for him. He could have hired someone to go with him, or he could have waited the next day. He could have basically gotten anybody to go for him. But he wanted to do it, get the itis. It leads to a lot of fatal crashes and innocent lives lost. Now, when the story broke, some interesting things began to happen. And some things got people very upset. They were already upset with the word that Kobe Bryant and his daughter had been killed, but then some other details added to the story began to cause more angst. I'll have that part of the story when we continue.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
When you pass away and leave this earth, you hope all the good things will be said about you. And any bad things you've done through your life, you hope will be dismissed or forgotten. Or say in context, it was a small thing compared to their overall life. When you're a celebrity, those flaws and mistakes will come back to the surface again. The other day is Kobe Bryant, word was circulating that he and his daughter were on that helicopter that went down. A reporter for, she's a national political reporter for the Washington Post, brought up something. In 2003, Kobe Bryant was accused of rape at a hotel by one of the women that worked there. She later decided not to testify. Prosecutors dropped the case a couple of years or so later. A civil suit was settled out of court. But the charge was still there. He got dismissed. Well, she decided to add that as part of the story about Kobe Bryant at that moment. And she wrote, any public figure is worth remembering in their totality. Even if the public figure is beloved and that totality is unsettling. She got rage, threats, volumes of threats and so forth. The Washington Post ended up suspending her. At the same time, you're in CNN's coverage. One of the analysts, sports analyst Christine Brennan, was reflecting on the learning curve that Kobe had to learn as he left high school and became pro. And she also got into the sexual assault allegations. Here's the issue. I would say they had to be included. But on that day, at that moment, no. It serves no purpose. There's no sense doing that. And yet I'm going to acknowledge for you, the day Bill Clinton passes away, you know what's going to be brought up to the surface right away. But Kobe had done a lot of things since then. In fact, if they're going to do that, if you're going to do it, put a balance in there in the sense that there are a lot of folks who say that he had really found himself and turned his life around because of his Catholic faith. He and his family, active members of their parish, and that he had also done a lot of things, never seeking publicity, giving money and events and so forth to different groups and helping them, never doing it for publicity, just doing it. That's another part of him that should be remembered. Whatever happened between him and that woman, and Kobe says, well, I had a misunderstanding. I thought it was consensual. She decided, said, he finally apparently accepted that, well, I was wrong, but I didn't think I was at the time. Whatever. You don't have to bring that up at that moment while there are still folks are grieving and starting the process. That would be my decision. If I were the news director at either of those operations, I'd tell them, you're right, we will deal with it, but we don't have to do it now. Unless it contributed to what happened, and it did not. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back. I'll be joined by James Herson from Hollywood and get a quick take from him on Kobe's passing and the tragedy, and also how the Hollywood left is celebrating the impeachment trial as it's going so far. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Baby, I got your number. All I know that you got mine.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My next guest appears on every major television network and broadcasting operation, numerous publications, New York Times best-selling author, international business attorney, social media scholar, and reporting from the left coast for us all the time, James Herson. James, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be with you, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. Let me give you a few moments. I've got a lot of material I want to cover with you, but I want to give you a few moments for your thoughts on the story about Kobe Bryant and that tragedy.
Well, I've had the great privilege, actually, of meeting Kobe and his family. I had the good fortune of attending the same house of worship as Kobe. And I can share this, that several times I've actually found Kobe in the sanctuary on his knees by himself praying. He's a very sincere, prayerful person. And one particular occasion, I actually was in conversation with the man, and a young boy approached him, and the way that he welcomed this young fan with warmth and with that engaging smile of his, it was just so touching. And he did it in such a way that the other children felt like they could approach. And this was, and you hear this, it's so funny, because last night on local television in Los Angeles, a young girl said much the same. She said he was so kind to the children. And it just says a lot, you know, in this age of sports figures who are not role models, other than that one little incident that they're unfortunately talking about. Kobe was an incredible role model, an incredible family man.
Let me interrupt. Before you joined us, I talked about that. I talked about the I understand when you're a celebrity, every little flaw is going to come to, and you hope when you pass it, they're saying all the good things. And the timing of bringing it up is what disturbed me, because I'm all into the news business. I've been for 50 plus years. And yeah, that's part of his story, but it doesn't have to be done that day as we're still unfolding the tragedy. And if you're going to do it, put a balance of how he's turned his life back over to his Catholic faith and so forth and everything else he's done. And I agree with you that it's going to be part of his life. We all like to have nothing but good said about us when we're done, but celebrities have a different door they have to go through.
Well, and we live in this age of hyper-political correctness, and there was a reporter who, you know, felt like she had to do her part as part of the Me Too movement or whatever it was, and was rightly, unsurprisingly, suspended by a mainstream media outlet.
Washington Post. On CNN, a reporter on CNN did the same, brought it up as well.
And I think they're playing a clip from Kobe talking about how he wanted to be remembered. And I'm a sports fan, but anyone who has watched the world of sports, and it doesn't matter what the sport is, the inspiration comes when two things happen to come together. And one is God-given ability, talent, and the other is a powerful work ethic. And you look at the greatest athletes that ever lived, without question, without exception, they had the two combined. Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Babe Ruth. It doesn't matter. And that's the only way to succeed in the big leagues, as we say. So person after person, people on the street asked about Kobe Bryant, said, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be a success in life. And that they were inspired by Kobe's drive.
Now, that's powerful.
His work ethic. And I think that's his legacy. I really think that. But he did it. He was serious in the game, but he had similar to like Magic Johnson, but he had this engaging warmth, a smile. And he wasn't all hung up with himself like so many celebrities get, even though Kobe had, just like everybody else, he had an entourage, he had a ton of money because he was paid as he should be for his ability, but he didn't let it go to his debt.
Well, again, that's all powerful testimony about him, and the other stuff would be brought up and is brought up, but I'd like to move on from it now. The only other thing I'd add.
No, he overcame it. He overcame it.
Yeah, he did. And it went to his faith. And his faith, I think, is going to be a critical part if you're going to talk about that incident and how he's changed his life since then. And like you said, helping and many times never looking for publicity for it. I know I'm aware of that. And of course, again, we need to remember that it wasn't just Kobe and his daughter on board. There were seven others on board as well. So how is the left celebrating? I've been watching some of the comments from some of the left Hollywood elite about this impeachment, and now there's this new word about Bolton coming in that it's going to reignite their celebration.
Absolutely. Well, it's just Hollywood is like a bunch of lab rats. And seriously, and, if you want to do an experiment and look at the rhetoric of Hollywood, what they do is mindlessly echo. It's almost as if a memo's passed around. But the far-left loudmouths in Hollywood now have this megaphone called the social media, and they uniformly express the same message over and over again. And look, we live in this age of Trump where we've watched the news media move from one, and I put air quotes in the air, one bombshell, air quote, after another, right?
Right.
This is a bombshell. That's a bombshell.
This would do a man. This would do a man. He'll never be able to survive this.
That's right. The walls are closing in. I mean, there's all these montages where we went from one bombshell. There was a Mueller leak and a Mueller bombshell. There was a Stormy bombshell. We go all the way back to the campaign where there's a Billy Bush bombshell. And the bombshells were all going to do it in. And this is a reporter at the New York Times who has not read the manuscript. He is operating off of an anonymous source who's told him about the manuscript. Now, Bolton could clear this up, and I wish he would, but he has come out criticizing the New York Times for the story, saying that it wasn't supposed to leak and this sort of thing. But this John Bolton stuff, they're blowing it up just like they did Stormy Daniels. I mean, I'm not saying John Bolton is Stormy Daniels.
No, I hear you.
But as a witness, he wasn't on the call. But
they're quoting him saying that he was directly told, not on the call, but he was directly told by Trump. But again, like you say, the New York Times is admitting, well, we haven't actually seen it. We're taking the word of someone else.
Right.
And I had a piece earlier that Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who testified, his brother is part of the National Security Council Ethics Committee. So, and they're just basically across the hall from each other. So if there were a leak, because he would have seen had access to the book, well, how do you think it leaked, assuming it wasn't planned by Bolton and his team?
You know, there's a story waiting to be told. We heard a now we're starting to get the story of the origin of the Russia collusion hoax. But there's an origin of the Ukraine quid pro quo hoax. And that story involves a nest of vipers. And we're seeing, you know, kind of these stories come out. You know, the whistleblower was having meetings with the Obama administration with concern about the Biden corruption that the mainstream media tells us is a false narrative has been debunked, and they're lying, absolutely. And so this whole premise is based on a non-event. First of all, the president expressed his desire to fire an ambassador. The president has an absolute power.
Yeah, but James, didn't they start saying he used words like get rid of her, get it done? I mean, in other words, like find somebody who paints houses and kill her. That's what the allegation was.
Yeah, right.
Let me, we're getting short on time, and I don't want to, never like cutting you short.
Okay.
I'm looking at a piece you wrote. A bipartisan acquittal might be in President Trump's future. Give me a thumbnail sketch of that in about 30 seconds.
Sure. All the focus has been on the moderate Republicans like Mitt Romney and Susan Collins and stuff, but people are ignoring the Democrats who are potentially going to vote for acquittal. And those include Kristen Sinema of Arizona, Doug Jones of Alabama, and most of all, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. West Virginia went for Trump by more than 40 points. West Virginia recently, there was a poll done. Almost 70% of the people don't like impeachment, don't like this whole thing. So Joe Manchin happens to have a good relationship with Trump. He's been to the White House. He goes to movie screenings, goes to lunch with Trump. There's a very high likelihood that one of these three, maybe all of them, are going to vote for acquittal. You know what that means?
Yeah.
That means that the impeachment was not bipartisan. There wasn't a single Republican
involved.
But
the acquittal would be, which would be great.
The acquittal will be.
All right, James.
And I think at the end of all this Bolton dust, that's the future we're looking to.
All right.
President Trump is going to have a victory rally.
I'm looking forward
to it. Maybe right there in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. And by the way, I want to have you back soon on, I want to go back and discuss something from the past on the West Wing TV series. We'll do that another day. James, again, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you so much, Larry.
You bet.
Take care.
James Herson. We'll take a short break and more about Kobe when we continue.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look to tonight.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Some final thoughts about news coverage on Kobe Bryant. And I'll remind you again, in addition to Kobe and his daughter, 13-year-old, on that helicopter, there were seven others. But the BBC was doing a tribute to Kobe Bryant, who retired from the Lakers in 2016. But they were showing footage of LeBron James. BBC. Later, the editor for BBC apologized, blaming it human error. Well, of course it's human error. But boy, did they get some noise over some of the responses coming in. A tribute to Kobe from the BBC using footage of LeBron James. Check the name on the back of the jersey. There are no standards anymore. Another one, dear BBC News, you appear to have inserted clips of LeBron James for no apparent reason. Then another one, first ABC mixes up who died in the helicopter crash, then NBC reporter mixes up the Knicks and Lakers. He said, and BBC runs an entire segment of LeBron thinking it's Kobe. My God, I don't even follow sports and I'm not this bad. That, by the way, referenced something else that happened. One of the reporters on MSNBC was talking about Kobe, and I think she just got caught in her language. She's going to say Kobe and the Lakers, and she started off with the Knicks, but she didn't quite get it out, and it almost became the N-word. She quickly kept moving on. I don't know if she knew she came close to it, but others did, saying that she used that word reference, Kobe and the Knickers, or what she's trying to say, who knows. But live TV, sometimes things like that, what happened? BBC had plenty of time to correct theirs, they didn't. There's another issue here. We talked about some of the parts of the story and when they're presented, like the rape allegation against Kobe in 2003, which was settled. And, of course, the other things he's done for helping kids everywhere and helping others turn their lives around and what he's done with his faith. But the other thing that happened the other day is that the sheriff of in the region, it was upset because reporters and news organizations were releasing Kobe's name before he had officially released it. And the response was, hey, we don't want people learning that their loved one is dead like this over the air. I have dealt with that issue uncounted times over the years in news. And you never like taking a chance, and that's why you often would hear the phrase, waiting for next of kin to be notified. But even then, here's the way this plays out, and I'll tell you exactly how it goes. Next of kin, and I've taught this with journalism students for years, that means they will tell you, we're contacting next kin, and maybe they contact a mother. They go to an address that they had on the victim, they had the mother, and say, okay, now you can release a name. And it's someone who's not a big celebrity, not a big name, and so you've waited. And now you got word that they contacted next of kin. Well, but then the father calls and said, I didn't get called because he and the mother had been divorced and separated. Who knows? In other words, you'll never be able to cover all the bases, the best you try to do. But when it comes to celebrities, and I may do a whole piece on this sometime, but when it comes to celebrities, your name is going to put you at the top of the list right away. I'd always told my junior reporters learning and so forth, it's a very sad but fact, if I'm in a helicopter on a story and it went down, the story is going to be quickly before my family is notified, even if the station itself doesn't air it. Someone else will run the story saying Larry Connors died in a helicopter crash before my family can be told. Would I want my daughters and wife to hear that like that over the air? No, of course not. But I had to accept the fact it could certainly happen. If you have the mayor of your city suddenly shot down in an event, the first name they're going to point out is who the victim was before anyone else can be notified many times. In the business, if you're doing the job right, you're doing your best to not have that happen. And if it's someone who's not of celebrity status and recognized, then you might be able to pull it off. But sometimes it might be a name that means nothing to you, but to a particular segment of a group, maybe a particular cardiologist group. They know that person, and they would have liked to have known in advance rather than learning on the airwaves. It's always a delicate balancing act. And I've always tried to teach reporters, do it the way you'd want your family treated. And then again, sometimes the very best effort you put into it falls short. And when it comes to being first, make sure you got the facts, not just first. Someone running a story the other day, and I'm not saying it happened, but if they'd put some other athlete in that plane other than Kobe or the helicopter until they got a chance to correct it, things like that can happen. Check your facts. Like I say, we'll spend more time on this in a future story, in a future report, because it's worth going into in more detail. As always, I appreciate you listening. Please let your friends and neighbors know about it. Podcast will be going up at Larry Connors USA Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. So let your friends and neighbors know. Same time, same place. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.